where we're putting forth a transaction and hoping to get something from God. God's already come to us in Christianity through Jesus and said, I'm making the transaction to you. I'm going to sacrifice to save you. So the transaction's on God's side. He's coming after us. He's approaching us and saying, here's what I've done for you. And then we just get to accept it. Now, after we accept that and God transforms our lives, then we want to be building and working towards praising and honoring God. But it's not out of obligation, it's out of love. I like to think of it in this way. So if you have a job, then it's really just a contract, and you're saying, I will do this, this, and this if you pay me this amount of money. And so we may not think about that every single day we go to work, but that's really what it is. So we're doing work and we're getting paid for it. And that's a transaction. And that's maybe the picture of some other religions of I'm going to do some work and hopefully I get that paycheck or I get the reward in the end. When we believe in God, it's like when you're helping out a family member. You're not getting paid for it. You're doing it out of love. You're doing it because you want to build that relationship. You're doing it because you want to honor that person because it's built out of love, not because you're expecting something in return, not because you're expecting to get some sort of payment, but because you love that person. That's a picture of our relationship with God. That the transaction's on his end, and he's coming to us and saying, I died for you. Will you accept that and be in relationship with me? So last week we covered that the Bible is reliable. And so let's look at some of the verses that discuss this throughout the scriptures. So we'll go first in the book of Titus. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so here, it's not because of our own righteousness, it's not because of our works done, but it's God's mercy on us. That's how we are renewed and regenerated and have these riches upon us. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ. And through that, we then have the hope of eternal life. We'll move on and look at another one. So this is John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, this is talking about Jesus, to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And here, the language here is really important, this idea of being a child of God. So God does the work, he sacrifices himself for us, he comes to us and says, accept this gift. And it's not just a gift to be renewed, but it's to be pulled in and adopted into God's family. So it's a picture of slavery, and we can think about someone who maybe would offer to pay for someone to be bought out of slavery. And that's a good thing. But imagine taking it one step further and saying, I'm going to buy your freedom from slavery, but I'm also going to invite you and adopt you into my family. And you're going to have all the rights and recognition of being part of my family. That's what God did for us. He didn't just save us and say, hey, I have mercy, I have compassion, I want to save you, go on your merry way. He's saying, no, I want to save you, and then I want to pull you in to be part of my family. Let's look at another one. This is in James chapter 4. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so God wants to draw near. So often we think of God as being off somewhere in the heavens or somewhere that's so far away, when it's really God's here. He wants to draw near to you, and he is drawing near to you. And we want to be drawing near to him. Dan read this next one earlier because it fit in well with our communion, but I'm going to read it again because it illustrates this point. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Again, a picture of God doing the journey, and he's right there at the door. And the modern translation of this, we don't really knock on doors anymore, so maybe it's he's at your house and he texts you and saying, hey, I'm outside, let me in. But he's there. And then again, this picture of intimacy, that when we invite people into our homes and we have dinner with them, there's this intimacy, there's this relationship building aspect of that. So it's again, I'm not just saving, but I want to be with you. I want to share a meal with you. And then, of course, we have the real famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this eternal life is with him. God calls us to himself. And whenever we see what God's doing and what he's saying, it's always on purpose. There's no coincidence. There's no chance. He's doing it for a reason. And so God wants to call everyone to himself. And so for life eternal, it's not God saying, I want to save you, but I don't know if I can handle eternity with you, so you're going to get this planet over here, and you're going to get this planet over here. It's God saying, no, I want you all with me. I want you to spend eternity with me. And he calls us to himself. And that's what eternity is but with him. In heaven or in that new earth, it's with him. So in all these things, we can understand and appreciate that God's coming after us. God wants to have a relationship with us. Now, there may be something you've heard before, and we don't really use those terms as much anymore, but it used to be a really big thing. Like, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And that used to be a big question. And for a lot of us, we would say yes to that, or we would try and understand that. But what does that mean? And I think the biggest way to help us understand that is to think about the strong relationships that we have in our lives. So our spouses, or our best friends, or our parents, or our siblings. What strengthens and maintains those relationships? It's shared experiences, it's spending time together, it's having good communication. All those things that make good human relationships also apply to God. And so when you think about that person that, when something good happens, that you want to tell them about. So the first person's like, oh, I had this really great day at work, and they want to give me this new opportunity, this new project. That first person you want to tell about that. Or on the flip side, that your day just went terribly, and you just need someone to listen and vent to about it. Those are some of the close relationships we have with other human beings. We can have that the same thing with God. That God cares about your day. We sometimes think of, oh, God's too busy, or what does God care about, you know, how my day at work went, or how my day with my kids went, or how my drive went and the traffic was. But he cares. He wants to know because he cares about you. In the same way that you want to hear from the people in your life how their day was. You want to hear the monotony. You want to hear the daily triumphs and struggles because you love those people. God wants to hear the same from you. And so during our prayer time, we can just say, God, here's my day. Here's what happened. Here's what made me really excited. Here's what discouraged me. Here's where I'm feeling anxious. And God hears you, and he listens to you in that. As we spend time with God, we understand how he communicates to us. And just like we have different types of relationships and we use different ways to communicate with the people around us, God's created each one of you to be unique. And so God may be communicating with you slightly different than he communicates to someone else. And that's part of the process of spending time with God, spending time reading the scriptures. We talked about last week, the scriptures are reliable, and they are a source we can understand who God is. So we can read the scriptures and understand who God is. We can spend time with him in prayer or meditation. And it doesn't have to be a one-way street. It doesn't have to be just us throwing up prayers to God. God's listening, and God can respond. So maybe he responds with a thought. Maybe he responds with going to a certain Bible verse. Maybe he responds by someone around you in your life, maybe saying something that moves you in the right direction or is the exact answer you were looking for. God can do that in many different ways. And as we do that, it transforms us. So think about all the people in your life that have just transformed you. And so as you're growing up, the relationship you have with your parents really transforms who you are and the relationship you have with your siblings. And when you go to school, the friends that you have and those relationships transform who you are. And the longer you're in relationship with people, the more you're transformed by it. The same is true with God. That as we live our lives with him, as we always want to be reaching out to him and hearing from him, it transforms how we live. And there's something so comforting about knowing that God's here with us. In the same way that it's so comforting to have someone hear your story or to mourn with you or to celebrate with you. God is right there. I saw a meme the other day that really made me think about our impact that we can have. And it was talking about all these movies and TV shows where people go back in time. So think of Back to the Future or movies like that. So people go back in time, and the biggest thing they're always concerned about is some of these small little changes that are really going to have an impact in the future. And so they're really concerned about, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, because even small changes in the past are going to have really big impacts in the future. And so we watch those movies and we accept that, even though we can't go back in time, we accept that, yeah, that sounds true, that these small changes can have a big impact. At the same time that we accept that, we also think that the small choices we make every single day aren't going to have much impact on the future. But they do. It's made me think about some of the small things that have transformed your life. Maybe it was in your faith. It was someone inviting you to a Bible study or to church. Or maybe if you think about different relationships, like if you would have made a different decision and hadn't run into what would have been your spouse or hadn't run into your best friend, hadn't sat next to them in that, you know, first class you had together. Or whatever else, the different relationships that maybe would have been different if some small things would have been changed. If we think about that, and maybe it's, you know, for you, you grew up as a Christian. And so maybe that's even generations before you, that your parents had someone that had an impact in their life, and that's what changed their life and faith. Or maybe it was even grandparents, or even further back in your generation and your lineage and heritage. That something that happened hundreds of years ago may be the reason that you're here today and that you have faith. If we can see and we can understand that, how powerful are the small things that we can do each day? The small things of having our relationship with God and the small ways that we can encourage people to bring them into the fold. Yeah, think about how much God has transformed you and how important that is for you. And then think about, we had those questions. Think about people who ask the questions that we're looking at and explore God and they don't have answers for it. That's a terrifying way of going through life. Of not knowing, do I have a purpose? I don't know if God exists, so that's not going to inform how I live. I think that maybe I can't know the truth, and so it's not worth pursuing. And so if we don't have answers to that, it can lead you to this kind of lost path of not knowing where to go in life. But we have the answers to these. We have compelling answers to these questions that people have. And they're answers that give hope and give life and bring salvation to people. Each one of us, each day, can make small choices to have that personal relationship, to commune with God, to pray to God, spend time with God, and even just our small ways that we can help other people. Maybe that's serving other people, or maybe it's inviting them to something, or just saying, you know, God loves you in that certain time. Those small things can have a big impact on the future. That's one of the reasons that we have Empowering Eternally Significant Lives. That's our motto here. And we have that because we want lives that we have not only to be significant here and now, not only significant for your lives and your community and your family, we want lives that matter forever. We want lives that matter for eternity. And imagine that when you're with God and you can hear the stories of you touch this person's life, and because of that, it touched someone else, and the exponential growth that happened because of that. None of us can see into the future, so we don't know which one of those small things is going to have that sort of impact. But if we do that day by day, those things are going to happen. That's part of having a relationship with Him, but that's also part of the whole reason we're doing this Explore God series, is we want to be inviting people in. So as we're closing this Explore God, this isn't an end. This is the beginning. So this is a sermon series where this is springing us forward. It's not that, all right, we've done the Explore God thing, we're done with it. We don't want to be inviting people in, we don't want to be exploring these big questions, and maybe we'll cover it again in a few years. No, this is something that's ongoing for us. This is a chance to have a foundation for some of these big questions to move us forward, to build upon. So this is a springboard for us to move forward. So don't allow these questions to just kind of sit there. Allow this to learn and grow. And let's have a congregation that's moving forward beyond this, and all this to be a starting point for us. Because having these answers and having that personal relationship transforms lives, and we can do that. Please rise.